Welcome to the Fantasy Football Podcast Extraordinaire. We are now into week 17 of the podcast in fantasy football, where we have crowned a winner this year for the Straight Out Manitowoc Fantasy Football League. Excited to go over that. We are going to do this for a couple more episodes, all the way up to the Super Bowl. Excited about that. And good to see some playoff football starting in a couple weeks or in a week here. How are you doing, Kyle? Are you excited as I am?
Yeah, I'm excited. Excited for the playoffs. That'll be fun. I mean, I'm a little bit bummed how the fantasy season turned out. We'll get to that at the end of the show. But yeah, overall, I'm still happy. Packers will be in the playoffs, so we get at least a couple more weeks of watching them at the very least. I mean, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I don't have much to play for in fantasy. Actually, we'll go over that during the fantasy game. I made a mistake, but fantasy is what it is. Got fourth place. Kind of thought I was going to get first for most of the season, so that's a little bit of a bummer. But the regular season, obviously the Lions have been playing the best season I've ever watched from their franchise, and get to see a pretty big game this week up against the Vikings. So very excited about that. So my football world is going good despite, you know, not much success in fantasy at the end of the year here. But how about you?
Yeah, we're good. We'll jump into the show. I mean, we did have a fab bet last week. If it was more of a joke, and I never sent it in the group chat. We were just asking which finals match would be better, me versus Ashley or Tiff versus Lee, and it turns out they were both pretty one-sided matchup, so unfortunately no one wins this one, and that'll be the last fab one. There'll be no more fab. We'll still do Malort shots through the playoffs. We'll find something to bet on. And speaking of which, last week we bet Vikings versus Packers and I lose again, so that puts me up to 10. Jim's at 8, so I made a little ground.
We got this week and then 4 weeks for the playoffs, one for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We should have like a punishment every year for the end, whoever gets more shots. There's got to be something added on to it.
I've got enough punishments this year already.
Oh, what we can talk about?
You guys beat the Vikings. I got to wear your Lions jersey.
Yeah, I guess I forgot about that. We have that too.
I mean, doing the Malort shots is punishment enough. Speaking of which, I'm going to down this real quick.
No, you're right. I forgot about the whole jersey bet, too.
Yep. And I'll be knighted in next year's ceremony.
Well,
first ever.
We haven't got there yet.
Well, it's just a countdown now. There's no way out of it. Yes, that's the Malort shot. Oh, yeah, next week. So we're looking for something a little bit different to bet on this week. We thought about just doing Vikings-Lions. That's kind of what we've been doing for a while. So we switched it up a little. We're going to bet on the Bears. They play against the Packers. And we're just going to bet on an over-under on the Bears score. We went with the line of 13.5. So pretty darn low. But the Bears have kind of been the Packers biannual. Is that what you call it when you do it twice a year? The biannual punching bag for the Packers. And we're coming off a bad loss right before the playoffs, so I'm really hoping they just shut them down one more time. I'm sure the Bears are going to want to win and break that streak we've got going, but they've been
I think the Bears are going to come out pretty hot. Last game of the season against the Packers, like they're going to be amped up. It might not end up being good for them, but definitely a game that they're going to put a lot of pride in. Regardless of what's happened this season, like that would be kind of like their Super Bowl.
Yeah, and that I think we're on an 11 game streak right now, and if they can end that's a big monkey off of their back for everyone in the next season. But
yep.
I don't see it happening. We'll talk a little bit more about the Bears in the next couple segments from now. But first up, we're going to do some Week 11 highlights. This is basically just the NFC playoff picture because it kind of relates to the NFC North. So. Vikings or Lions are going to get the number one seed and the bye. So congrats to whichever team that comes out victorious this Sunday. The rest of the spots are almost locked up, save some very unlikely scenarios. So what we're currently looking at is the number two seed is the Eagles, the three is the Rams, four is Tampa Bay, five is going to be, like I said, Vikings or Lions, whoever loses that match. Six is the Commanders and seven in the Packers. There could be a little bit of switch up. If the Commanders lose and the Packers win, they could switch places, but the Commanders are playing the Cowboys, so it seems unlikely. So the Packs probably stuck with the seven seed. So that basically means currently we have the Packers going back to play Philly again, which is one of only three teams we've lost to this whole season. At least this time we'll be in the U.S. instead of Brazil. Is that Brazil, Mexico, somewhere?
Yeah,
somewhere
it was in Brazil, I believe.
Yeah. That's where we played them last time. So the Vikings-Lions loser, the fifth seed, they'd get to play Tampa Bay. So if the Packers actually make it through the Eagles, we'd have to play. Our next match should be against the next highest seed that's still playing, which is probably going to, this would be one of our divisional opponents, whoever won that matchup. It's going to be a rough road. It's going to be a rough road if you don't get the number one seed out of the NFC, because you're going to be on the road and you're going to be playing very good teams. Tampa Bay, I'd say, is the best matchup you could ask for, but they're still no slouches. I mean, they're one of the only teams to beat the Lions this year, so they're capable of it.
Yeah, there's
go ahead.
We do have some interesting matchups. It's kind of crazy that Packers are, 11-5 right now?
Mm-hmm.
And that they're going to be the seventh seed, which I can tell right now, that's the first time in NFL history that's happened, because the seventh seed's only been around for so long. And it's pretty much always been like barely with a winning record. So the fact that the seventh seed's 11-5, they're going to have the best record of all time at the seventh seed. And it's probably going to last for a while, too. So like, this is pretty unprecedented season we've seen. So you guys would potentially have to play Lions or Packers pretty much second week, huh?
There's an extremely high chance that we play the Eagles, then the Lions or the Vikings. And then if the fifth seed makes it through, which is a good chance because the fifth seed is going to have the second best record in the NFC. We could play all three of those teams in a row if we wanted to get to the Super Bowl. And those are all the teams that have beaten us. So for the Packers, it is a tall task. I'm not saying it's impossible, but that's going to be incredibly difficult to get through that gauntlet.
Yeah, you're basically going to have to beat the best teams in the NFC. I mean, obviously, that's how the playoffs work. But like, those are legitimately like the most dominant teams in the NFC. The NFC is very tough right now. Mm-hmm. And it shows. So yeah, you're playing against really the only good teams at that point going through. Obviously, Tampa's solid. Rams are solid. But really, the Lions, Vikings, and Eagles. The three juggernauts of the NFC.
Yeah, this will for sure be the highest ranked fifth seed. It's got to be.
Oh yeah,
that we've ever had. There's gonna be a 14 win team getting the fifth seed.
So nuts.
Rough. So yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more in a little bit here, but we'll jump into the NFC North talk quick.
The Bears still suck. Bears still suck.
So first match we had was the Bears versus the Seahawks. This was a little while ago now. But the Bears just found a new embarrassing way to lose. They got beat 6-3 by the Seahawks. So yeah, next matchup we had the Packers versus the Vikings. So Packers lose this one 27-25. This was not a good game from the Packers. It was honestly pretty disappointing as a Packer fan. The final score looks good with the game. Really didn't, in my opinion, at least for the vast majority of it. The game started good for a very little bit. We won the coin toss. We took the ball again like we have been doing since the bye. We were doing what we've been doing. We were giving the ball to Josh Jacobs, kind of just slowly meandering our way down the field, and then Jacobs fumbled it. And Vikings got the ball. It was kind of just a sign of how this game was going to go. It was just such a terrible foot to get off on. I mean, the defense did make a good stop. They didn't get to capitalize off that fumble. They were on like the Packers 30 when it happened. But I mean, after that, both teams were getting the ball. Packers weren't getting anything done. They were kind of just getting their butts whooped for basically the next two quarters. Packers found themselves down 20-3 mid third quarter when they finally got some momentum by getting a pick from Darnold, which led to a touchdown. Unfortunately, the Vikings got the ball back, went right back down, scored, put it back to 27-10. A failed Packers drive, followed by a Vikings missing a field goal, left to score. Same with only 8 minutes left to play, so barely any time left. We're still down 17. Packers, they get a touchdown drive. They got a stop. They got another touchdown drive to get it within two, all in those final 8 minutes. So that part of the game was fun. We were kind of making a comeback, but it just wasn't enough. Vikings got the ball one more time. They ran out the clock. And we lost by two. So not extremely different from the first time we played them, in all honesty. They kind of whipped our butts. We almost came back. Couldn't do it. But for me as a Packer fan, the big takeaway is we just did not look good enough in this game. Like I said, the final score wasn't reflective of the game. In my opinion, the Vikings played much better than we did. Our wide receivers, they need to stop dropping the ball. There's way too many drops. You know, you're watching the other team with Addison, Jefferson, Akers, and even their third wide receiver. They're all just grabbing these balls out of the air. And some of the throws aren't even, like, perfect. Like, they're making crazy stretch catches. One of Jefferson's, it was behind his head, and he just, like, bats it with one arm in front of him and then catches it. I was like, dude, Jefferson is way too good at fucking football. I'm not expecting that kind of play from our receivers because there's only one or two guys in the NFL that can do that kind of shit. But so there's that. Love also needs to play better. The drops hurt him, but also he made a lot of bad throws in this game. He was on in those final 8 minutes, but before that, I mean, there were so many bad throws. Also, I feel like we stuck with the run-first mentality for way too long. Like, we were down by three scores, and we kept trying to pound the ball until the final quarter almost, and it was just too late. We couldn't come back. So I'm not very happy as a Packers fan right now. I mean, we needed to get hot around now. This is the caliber of team we're going to be playing in the playoffs, and that's 2 weeks away, and it didn't look like we're capable of beating them with this kind of performance. I don't know if you watched it. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I was pretty bummed out with this one.
Yeah, no, definitely. This was the one game I chose to watch since Lions weren't playing. I've said it multiple times. I'm not really sure what I think of Love yet. And these are the type of games that he's had a couple times now where it seems like when the competition goes up, that's where you start seeing a lot of these missed passes. Seems like the game kind of gets a little faster for him. I don't know if it's like a nerve thing or if it's just the uptick in quality of opponent. He hasn't really performed well against other good teams, except for maybe at the end in last year in the playoffs. Like you said, he kind of misses passes. He seems like he's out of sync with his receivers, and then the receivers aren't really helping much either, which is a big deal. But what it comes down to, too, is like they can get into the red zone, but then they were never able to do anything with it. It just kind of seems like they would march down the field and then slow down right by like the 30, 40 yard line, and then they would be looking at a field goal or something. It's kind of felt like that was most of the game. So they have the offense to be good in the red zone. Really, you just need a solid goal line back, and you have that, and then some, you know, bigger receivers, which you do with. I mean, you do have what's his name out. I'm sure that's a big
Christian game. Watson. Yeah, he's been our best wide receiver this year.
He's been really good as of late, but he's like your red zone guy, so that does hurt. But I was gonna say you have like him and Hobbs, who are pretty good red zone guys too, so it should be better. But as an outsider looking, obviously, I have a pretty distinguishable hatred for the Packers. If I try to be as unbiased as possible and not try to hate on Love just because I don't want him to succeed, Packer, I just feel like kind of just like maybe above like replacement level in the last couple weeks, because it seems like they kind of slowed the offense down. They went more to Jacobs because of how he was playing early in the year. And that was right around the bye week. It seems like they kind of changed their offense. And when teams do that, typically when you're taking responsibility away from the quarterback, it's because you don't trust them. You think they're making too mistakes. He played pretty well, but you could see his numbers were much, much lower the last like four or five games. And I think that's a lot of it came with that. Obviously playing good defense too. So you got to see it more against some other teams. Maybe they'll change when he plays the playoffs and then he has some good games, but he's got to start playing good against good teams, or I think he'll fizzle out as a starter. Actually.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on the opposite side. I'm obviously a huge Packer fan, but I'm trying not to be a homer about it. I'm trying to look at it with a neutral eye. And yeah, it's just, yeah, it wasn't good enough. That's basically what it comes down to. It was not good enough. Sam Darnold looked like a far superior quarterback in that game. I mean, he's got the better receivers. It helps when you have Justin Jefferson to catch the ball and get open like that. Mm-hmm. But you can't have watched that and been like, Jordan Love's better than Sam Darnold, because Sam Darnold looked infinitely better in that game. He had some bad throws too. He did have that bad pick. I don't know what he was doing with that one pick, but it even so, one bad throw doesn't overwrite how many awesome throws he had. He had some real deep balls that were just dime passes, hits the guy in stride. Yeah.
The most frustrating ones are the ones that Love hits over the middle. Like he seems to miss guys over the middle quite a bit, like just like a plant over the middle line. I don't know why he always has like throws him in the dirt a lot. I don't know if you notice that.
Yeah.
That's a very big play in the Packer playbook, is that like quick. I mean, it used to be more of a big deal with Rodgers before LaFleur. The Packers like known for that, but it's still a pretty big deal, pretty big play in their playbook. And he just, I don't know why he misses those so much. Because I remember there's a play where he killed a drive where the guy was wide open. He threw it right in at his feet. It was just like, man, you get that guy in stride, he probably has a touchdown.
Or at least a first down to keep the drive alive, you know? Yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. It doesn't get fixed. We're not going anywhere in the playoffs. Based on that performance last week, it looks like a one-and-done team. Like, we're going to get the second-best team in the NFC. That's who we're going to have to play against. We're just going to be about on par with what the Vikings are right now, whether they get the first seed or the fifth seed. We're probably going to play the Eagles, and I'd say they're about on par with the Lions and the Vikings. It's not going to be an easy match, and you can't play like that.
I think they're better than when you played them week one. Like they were a team that kind of had to figure out how to play together more so than other teams. And they were, before the Hurts injury, were looking, I think, like maybe the best team.
Yeah.
That's not a fun matchup first week of the season.
I'd say the Packers are better than they were week one, too, but they haven't. If I had to judge them both right now, yeah, the Eagles are going to be the favorite. Plus, they're at home, and that's not an easy city to go to and play in their stadium. So. We'll see what happens. But we'll get into the Lions versus the 49ers. So the Lions won this one 40-34. So the 49ers, they tried. They tried real hard to play spoiler in this one, but they couldn't quite pull it off. The Lions had their extra point blocked after their first touchdowns. So they were down a point for a little bit there. This game, both teams are basically going up and down the field scoring in the first half. The Lions finally got a stop once, and the 49ers missed a field goal on their final drive of the half. Basically, this game got lost in the second half because Birdie, he just threw a terrible pick in the third quarter. This is basically the game-changing plays, because before this, Niners were either kind of like up or tied for most of the game, and this kind of alternated to how the Lions are being up or tied. And then Purdy threw another one with 5 minutes left in the game. Which basically locked up the loss for him. The Lions ran away with it after that. They scored a touchdown very quickly after that pick. Those two picks determined the game, and they were both terrible picks. I don't know what Purdy was doing with those. Purdy does that shit every so often. It's just like, wow, that was way off, and it looks like it's right to the defender.
A wide open, I think their tight end's named right now. Kittle was like wide open and he just overthrew him. And the safety was just, or Kirby Joseph, their safety was just sitting behind.
Just overthrown by that.
Waiting to hit, probably hit Kittle. And he's like, oh, I'll just pick off the football that's right in my hands. And that's the guy who's leading the league in interceptions. So he's probably not going to drop that pick.
Lions, they pulled off another fancy little trick play this game. They had it was a pretty cool one. It was a quick like slant route to Amon-Ra. He catches it. As soon as he gets it, he laterals it back to Jameson Williams, and then Jameson Williams takes it the opposite direction. All the defenders got left in the dust going the wrong way, and he just burned him down the sideline. Cool play.
He was actually talking about it. He said, like, you know, obviously the plan was like to get 10 yards out of it. And he said, once he turned that corner, he saw the safety didn't have the angle on him. And he's like, yeah, I'm gone. He knew, he knew at like the 40, like, yeah, I'm just touchdown. How much detail is in that play? They just know if the defender's not there, you're good.
I mean, a guy that fast. Yeah. If you're running the wrong way, when you see him, it's, that's a fucking hard ask to catch up to him.
I think he would have ran a 4.2. Like, he is the fastest player I've ever seen in a Lions uniform by far. He got just crazy long strides, and he's just at full.
Did he not do the combine?
Does he not? No, he had tore his ACL.
Oh, okay.
He's come out and said that he would have ran a low 4.2. So
yeah,
he thinks he's like, you know, Olympic fast, but maybe he's not quite low 4.2.
Yeah.
What's the record?
I mean, even then, it's
2.7.
What you run in the combine and what you run with pads on is different things. And that dude's fast as fuck with his pads on. At what you run in the combine is barely relevant to how fast you can run outside of that. Plus, the combine is like, you start with those like blocks, and half of what you do in the, did a 40-yard dash? Is that what they do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, half of that score is just how good you are at getting off the line. And that's not really that relevant to what you're doing in the NFL most of the time.
Actually, the more favorable drills are the agility drills, those ones. And then the one thing that teams actually really do care about with the 40-yard dash is the 10-yard split. So basically, that shows your get-off. If you have good get-off, you're going to have a good 10-yard split. That's the one that I think really shows well for, like, defense linemen and stuff, like quick burst. I think it translates well to, like, success is that, like, short burst. And there's another one. It's a cone drill. That translates for defense alignment, but most other positions, which is kind of funny, it doesn't matter as much. It's like those like quick smaller integers of speed. But the 40-yard dash, not really that big of a deal. I mean, it doesn't really tell anything about how a player plays.
What's like the biggest stat you always hear first when stats get brought up too?
Because it's fun. I mean, it's always like, oh, who's gonna potentially beat the record this year? And like J-Mo would have been one of those guys that would have been under conversation, but
yeah,
he said he would have beat it, but I mean, obviously every probably athlete in his position would have said that.
The only note I have for this one is that just kind of my takeaway as a Packer fan is that the 49ers only scored this many points twice all season. So the Lions D kind of looks like it's pretty big liability still. I mean, luckily for them, they probably have the best offense in the NFL, so they can outscore any team. You know, they very rarely get stopped. But, man, their defense is kind of looking like a sieve lately. So that's a problem when you're going into the playoffs.
Yeah. Honestly, I think the bye is probably more important for us than our team. We had the first bye of the season, I think, week 5. So
yeah,
we were the first teams to get rest. So the bye is going to be really big for us. We actually do get Carlton Davis, David Montgomery, and it sounds like Alex Anzalone, who's our best linebacker, coming back probably this week. But the other two, it sounds like, you know, if we do get the bye, they'd be back for the first playoff game. So, and the defense has been a little bit of a sieve, but the thing is, they have some playmakers in the secondary, and they do get up fast. They can outscore anyone just because I do believe they're the best offense in the league. I think the only team would even have a chance would be the Bills. Argued, and they can just teams that like a low. I mean, you don't really need to have their defense do anything but make like a player or two. If they have like one or two turnovers, they're going to probably win just because they're going to score almost every drive. I mean, we scored, I think, 30 or 40 points in our last four games against really good teams, and I guess the way to say it is it's a concern, but I think with them getting enough people back, they'll be fine for the playoffs. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, if they're playing second week of the playoffs, we'll have everything but really Hutch and Ali McNeil, who are arguably our best two players on defense, but that everybody else will be healthy at that point.
Yeah. I mean, the health is a factor, but yeah, I mean, like you said, your secondary is good. So if you can get a turnover and even just like two other stops all game, that's enough for you guys. Because like you said, you guys score almost every time you get the ball. Once in a while you get stopped, but it's pretty infrequent.
we're scoring 30 like every game, even against the other good teams that are, you know, able to score on us every drive. It's like, yeah, but we're scoring on them every drive too. So it's just like, I mean, we almost came back and beat the Bills, even though they got a quick start on us, just because we can just score and we outpaced them in the second half. It's just unfortunate that we had two bad drives in the beginning. It was basically they had the two stops in the beginning, and that's why they won. So that's basically what we have to do. And I do believe we have the defenders to do it. And I think we're going to get more of them back. And our whole secondary is actually going to be healthy. And that's the big deal, because I think if we do get up by two scores, the real thing you're worried about is your pass rush and your secondary. And while the pass rush isn't the greatest, the secondary is much improved on last year. So hopefully a better version of last year's team still.
So speaking of all that, we got week 18. We got you guys versus the Vikings. Vikings defense is good. They're one of the top defenses in the NFL. And their offense is looking pretty electric, too. I mean, Sam Darnold, like it or not, he's got to be back in the MVP conversation again. Like, I don't know if he can get it, but if he comes out with a huge performance against the Lions in a game this big, I mean, this is, we talked, I don't know if we were recording it when we said this, but this is the biggest regular season game maybe that I've ever seen. I mean, I've seen some cool matchups, like, but it's earlier in the season where the implications aren't as big. I mean, I remember there was like a Rodgers versus Brady one midseason a long time ago, maybe in like 2015 or something, which was an awesome game because like all these are two like Super Bowl contending teams playing off midseason. But the implications, I mean, we're different conferences. It barely even mattered. It was one game. This is huge. I mean, this is for the number one seed, the two highest records. Someone's going to be on the road for the rest of the playoffs. Someone's getting a bye. Two very good teams with great coaches. Yeah, I'm pumped for this game. It's going to be an awesome game. It's a nice pre-playoff matchup, basically.
This might be better than the Super Bowl. Like, this is maybe what the Super Bowl should be. I mean, really, if you go off of season, there's only maybe two other teams you could argue have had better seasons, right? So. Mm-hmm. This is going to be one of the best matchups we're going to see all year. I hope it doesn't let us down. I hope, honestly, it's a close game even for the Lions to win. You know, it'd be nice to have a fun game to watch. I do like the ebbs and flows of game even as a fan. You know, I think that's what makes it fun. If the Lions just blew at every team, you know, I don't think that would be enjoyable. So I would like to see that. Obviously, when I'm watching, I'd probably feel differently. It's going to be a bloodbath. I know you said like the defense of the Vikings is good, but the one thing is Goff seems to have played well against their defense. One of the few quarterbacks that has. So I don't know if that's a Ben Johnson thing, Jared Goff thing. I think what it really comes down to, I think we talked about it when they played them earlier in the year, is the Lions offense line is so good. The thing that makes the Vikings defense good is they do a lot of stunts, a lot of blitzing, and they do a lot of unique stunts, something that most teams don't do. And it does confuse defense or offensive lines. And I think when they go against more inexperienced offensive lines, they perform better because, I mean, obviously it's lesser opponents, but just because more experienced offensive lines are better at diagnosing those things, even like the more random, oh, this stunt here or this one here, I haven't seen this, but they kind of just know how to block it. I think that will help the Lions. Goff has played well before, but that's not to say the Vikings won't keep pace with their offense. They've been lights out. Now that I think it was named their second receiver,
Edison.
When he came back, I mean, the offense really took off. It seems like now that they got that second guy. Well, actually, T.J. Hockenson as well. So they got T.J. Hockenson and Edison back, and I mean, we were thinking, you know, he was playing well without those guys, and now he has them, and he's even playing better. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a real high-scoring game. It might be a similar game to the Niner and Bill game we just saw the Lions play, just because they got to stop another really good offense, and I don't know if they can do that right now. They're still missing too many players, I think, to really play a competitive game on defense against an offense as good as the Vikings. It's going to be an incredible game. I'm excited. It's the most high-profile game of my lifetime as a Lions fan, so I'm going to be pumped watching it, and hopefully the Lions can come away with a win. Nice thing is, like, even if they don't, it's not the end of the world. You know, they're still in the playoffs, and then they might even be a better road to not go through the number two seed just because they don't have to potentially play the Packers or something, you know? I don't know. We'll see. It's a crazy year. One of the craziest playoffs I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I'm very excited for that game. It'll be something to look forward to this Sunday. Neither one's even my team, but I'm pretty excited for that game.
I mean, what like is I said, probably it's been like a more hyped game. Like maybe the Brady Peyton Manning years. Like those games were like
ridiculous. Yeah.
Maybe yeah, there yeah. was a game like that, but like we've never seen a team, two teams with this type of record play this late to decide a division. Like this is a very unique.
Yeah. Game. But they're in the same division too. Like yeah. that's the yeah, that never happens. That's crazy. But yeah. So our next segment, we're going to add a little segment to this one because we've only got a couple matchups to talk about for the matchup recap. So we're going to do kind of a we're going to do like a power rankings essentially, but this is for the whole NFL. So I have one. Jim has one. How do you want to do it? Do you want to we both say our number 10 first? And
I will just say 10 and
meander our way up. Okay.
Sure.
So my 10 is a team that might not even make the playoffs. Straight up, I put the Bengals down here. But they got Joe Burrow. This offense, kind of like the Lions. I mean, they can outscore anyone in the NFL, but their defense is terrible. Like I said, they might not even make the playoffs, but if they get in, there's no team that they cannot beat in the playoffs. I mean, we saw them play the Bills. The Bills scored. I can't remember what the score of this game was, but I mean, both teams were just fucking lighting it up, but Joe Burrow and the Bengals came out on top in that one, and I put them at number 10 because I don't see them getting all the way with the defense the way it is, but they're capable of beating any other team in the playoffs. So that's my number 10.
I think it's a good pick. I've always loved the Bengals. I've talked about how much I like Joe Burrow for years now. They're a fun team. I do think they're a little too flawed to be at 10, but so I actually had a team that I thought about too that was kind of in a similar boat, which have been the 49ers. I think the 49ers are a lot better than the record shows. They've dealt with a lot of injuries this year. I thought about putting them in my number 10. But so I can't hate it. Obviously, like you said, the Bengals can beat anybody. Joe Burrow, I think he's been the best quarterback this year. If MVP actually went to the best player this year, I think it should go to Joe Burrow over anybody else. But I think his team's record is pretty much. For my 10, though, I put the Commanders. Sorry, I put the Broncos. They've been playing really well. I love their defense. It's, I think, the best defense in the league. I think we're talking about Patrick Surtain is going to win the defense part of the year, most likely, which I can't argue. I think he's had one of the best quarterback seasons we've seen in a while. So all that, you got Bo Nix, who's been playing incredible for a rookie. I'm surprised he doesn't get more talk. I mean, we heard a lot about Daniels on the Commanders. Bo Nix hardly got any press, and he's playing as well as any rookie quarterback really can this early into his career. He's keeping that team afloat. We thought they were going to be kind of like the Vikings. I mean, I can make the playoffs, and they're looking to be one of the spoilers, at least for some team. I don't think they'll make it to the Super Bowl, but I think they definitely can take a game off of somebody in the playoffs. So I like them at 10.
Yeah, if they get in, then the Bengals do not. The Bengals need, I think they need the Dolphins to lose, and they need to win first, and then they need the Dolphins and the Broncos to lose. And if that all works out, then the Bengals sneak in the back door and barely squeak in.
So I mean, that's the team no one wants in the playoffs just because of Joe Burrow. I mean, again, I don't think they will make it just because I think their team's too flawed, but it's Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Higgins. Like, I think those three guys can beat anybody with almost anyone else on their roster. They're just that good individual.
But, yeah, the other one I had there for a minute was the Chargers. I had them there, and I was like, nah, I think the Bengals are better than the Chargers. If I had to pick which team was better, but the Chargers have had a better season, and they were impressive this year. But, the 10th ranked team is kind of like they're good, but they're not going to win the Super Bowl. I don't see how they could possibly get there, but
read.
So number 9, I had your aforementioned Commanders. I don't know if they made it into your top 10 or not based on what you said before, but they look great this year. My knock on them is they have a rookie quarterback at the helm, and basically no one on their team has playoff experience because they've been bad for quite some time. They're not bad anymore, but I don't see them making a run all the way to the end with a rookie quarterback. That would just be it's never happened, and I can't see it happening. So I've got him at 9.
Yeah, I have the same. I had him flipped. That's why I messed up, because I put an arrow to flip him. Because I was thinking after I put him down there, like, who would win a game between the Broncos and the Commanders? And it's like, the Commanders already beat the Broncos, I think. And I think I would trust the Commanders just because they've been a little bit better, I feel. I think I've said all year, even when they were looking like potentially a threat to the number one seed, that I just don't think they're a team that can do a lot of damage in the playoffs. I don't trust their offense against better teams. And I think their defense is still a year or two away from being a great unit, but they played a lot better than their talent would indicate. So maybe next year will be their year. But yeah, very exciting team. Fun season from them, but I can't go past 9. I think everyone above them that I have would beat them in a game or has beat them in a game.
That was my thoughts too. So number 8, I went with the Packers. I wanted to put them higher, but I didn't want to be a homer. So this is where I have them. They're good, but they need to clean up their act. They can't keep dropping balls. Love needs to play better. And they need to play like a whole game of solid football on both sides of the ball. The defense has been pretty good overall. I can't complain about them too much, but the offense needs to play a whole game. The biggest knock on them is all the playoff teams are going to run into, they haven't beaten any of them. And that's just a pretty big downfall. It's hard to say we'll beat all these guys the next time. And then the next time. And the only one we've beat is the Rams. And when we played them, that Cup wasn't there. Puka wasn't there. I think Kyren was there, but that's the only playoff team we've beaten all year. And I don't even think that really counts when 2 out of your 5 best players aren't on the field. So, I mean, they're capable, but the way they played this year and this last week, I can't put them above 8.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of fool's gold with their success over the last couple weeks. They've gotten kind of lucky against opponents at the right time. They played the Niners at the right time. They played the Saints at the right time. So, like, it kind of helped push their
Stock up a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it basically just made them look, I think, a little bit better than they were. And again, as soon as they play against a more fine team, it just kind of seemed like it all fell apart. I have them at the same spot. The game against the Vikings really was a concern for me because it's the same exact thing, like you said, that happened the game before. The Vikings got up early and they kind of coasted at the end. Yeah, it got close, but I mean, really, the Vikings just kind of took their foot off the gas and just kind of let the clock run out because they kind of already felt good about their chances of winning. So, yeah, the Packers made it somewhat interesting, but that's really all it was. So, yeah, I can't put them much higher. There might be a team or two. No, actually, I can't. The team maybe I have above them is the only team I would argue that I could put them over.
Yeah, the next one's up. I couldn't have moved them above 7. And at 7, I have the Rams. I mean, Stafford, Kyren, Puka, Kupp, Sean McVay. You can never write these guys off. They're absolutely electric when they're clicking. They can beat anybody. And honestly, this is the only team I could kind of, in my mind, be like, I could bump the Packers up to maybe number 7 and move the Rams down to number 8, but currently, I think the Rams belong at number 7, Packers belong at number 8.
Well, I have a little bit of a surprise. I put the Chargers 7.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I just love their coaching. I've always liked Jim Harbaugh. I think he's a really good coach. I think what he's proven one year there is kind of what he's done everywhere. He knows he focuses on the offensive line. He even got Alt, I think his name is, and he's been one of the best rookie left tackles or right tackles actually he's playing, but one of the best tackles we've ever seen. Like, he's been incredible. Really helped stabilize the offensive line. Now they have like really 2 elite starters at tackle. They have a couple good guards, center, and then they have one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And that's kind of why I put him here, is I feel like kind of similar to the Packers. They have a really stout defense. They have a kind of like a mix of receivers, nothing like really special, but you know, like a good like group of receivers that complement each other so that they work well together, but they're kind of missing something. The one thing is Jacobs is much better than anything the Chargers have, but I would also say that Chargers quarterback's better than the Packers. So that's really what it comes down to for me, and that's why I put the Chargers up on one spot. And I do like their coaching a little bit more too. LaFleur gets a little too cute, I think, in games, and he costs the team sometimes with the calling. And I feel like I would trust Jim Harbaugh more in like a do or die game situation that was close at the end. So that's my reasoning for the Chargers over the Packers, but it's close.
He's definitely got more experience. So do you not have the Rams in your top 10 then? Because
no,
one of these teams. Okay, okay.
There's
no way. I was looking at my other six. I'm like, there's no way you cannot have any of these in your top 10. So
yeah.
It had to be the Rams. Okay.
You could argue that I put the Rams over the Broncos or Commanders. There are the couple teams at that like end of the grouping that I feel like I tried to be a little like fun with the Chargers. They might be in the same group as like everyone we listed. Like you could probably list them either way, and I think you could be right or wrong. You know,
and the ones we're gonna say, there's definitely a break right there.
Yeah, this is
gone through, and the ones we haven't gone through, because the next six, I could see these in any order. And I wouldn't be upset about it. But the way I went with it is number six, I put the Ravens. It's got Lamar Jackson. He's looking absolutely dominant this season. Their defense has been getting a little bit better throughout the season. Tucker, their kicker, has been missing quite as often as he was early on, which is a big difference. And they got Derrick Henry. So, I mean, it's an extremely talented team. But I didn't put them higher because they always seem to underperform in the playoffs. Every time they get there, they dominate all season. They get to the playoffs and they just play a terrible game. Like I can't remember all their scores, but like they score like 15 to 18 points in the playoffs when they get there. And it sucks. I hate to see it for Lamar because I love him, but I didn't want to move him higher than six because of that, because history, and there's enough of it now.
Yeah, he's always gotten injured, though, right before the playoffs. And I feel like that's kind of limited him. So hopefully now that he's healthy, maybe that's the difference. Having the same spot, again, and there's a couple teams you could probably put here. These are the six teams that are coming up. I think they have a shot at the Super Bowl. I don't think anyone below
this
is going to have any real legitimate shot. They might win a game. They might knock off one of these teams. But to beat two of these teams to make the Super Bowl, you have to be one of the teams in this list, I feel.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson's great. Derrick Henry's great. Defense has played a little better as of late, and really that's all they need is they have a great offense. They just need a little bit better defensive play to get to the Super Bowl. So I could definitely see it, but I'll put them here, kind of like what you said. It just, they kind of have a history now of choking and not having the best playoff performance, and they kind of started out strong this year and kind of fizzled out, and they're not playing the greatest football here as they were in the beginning, so they do seem a little colder than the other team.
Yeah. So number five, I put the Vikings here. Like I said, this is tough when you get to these final stretch, and they could all be switched around in any order, but I feel like this is the most balanced team still in the running. Their defense is great. Their offense is great. They might have the best coach of the whole bunch. I'd be surprised if Kevin O'Connell doesn't get coach of the year. I mean, this team was written off before the season started, and they're according to me, a top five team in the NFL going into the final week of the season. It's insane. Darnold's playing like MVP. He has the best wide receiver duo in the NFL. They're hard to stop. I mean, their offense isn't the best in the NFL. Their defense isn't the best in the NFL, but man, I think they're both probably top five units, and it's hard to get around that kind of stuff. So I put them at number five.
Yeah, I'm good with that one. I feel like they were overperforming most of the season, and they kind of have a similar thing to the Packers, where it's like they've almost lost a lot of games, or they've played a lot of like teams at the right time. They played a lot of teams they shouldn't close, so it does feel like maybe they have. I looked into the record a little bit, but really they just keep winning. And this happened when O'Connell became the coach, you know, like 3 years ago when they had that one season of Kirk Cousins. They just seem to know how to play these games. They've been doing it for years. Mm-hmm. This is not something new for them. It's just how they're built. And I think that just comes down to good coaching. And honestly, Kevin O'Connell, he'd be the best coach in the NFL. I really feel that way. So I have him in the same spot. I don't think I mentioned that yet. So I definitely agree. Really good team all around. There's no real weakness on it. They can definitely win it all.
Yeah, any of these teams at this point could easily win it all and not be surprising. Next up, number four, I put the Lions, so one spot above the Vikings. Their defense is rough, but they are going to get a couple guys back. But namely, their offense is just the best in the NFL. I mean, they can, like you said, they almost always score 30-plus, but they can score 40-plus against basically any team. So defense is important, but, I mean, scoring points is what wins you the game. And they can score a boatload of them against any defense, against any team. So I got him at number four. Only three teams I put above them.
Yeah, I mean, you have to score 30 points to beat the Lions, and that's a pretty good starting spot as any team, no matter how bad your defense is. And honestly, if they were healthy, I don't think it'd be a question who the NFL is right now. You know? I mean, the reason they're probably as low, in your opinion, for anybody's list right now, really would be because of the defensive injury. Yeah, it's been a little bit rough, but
yeah.
We'll see. Hopefully they can end number one on that one. As for my number four, I had the Chiefs. I think I've talked most of the year that I was never thinking the repeat was going to happen, just from us seeing. They have been better as of late. They're getting healthier at the right time. All the things you like to hear for a repeat. And it seems like, you know, kind of actually even the same thing we heard last year. But very solid team. The best player in the world, Mahomes. Maybe he hasn't played that way compared to some of his competition, but this year. But I never write him off, no matter how good or bad the team is, and they still have a really good team. So another shot at a Lombardi for them. Hopefully it doesn't happen, but can't argue it. They're incredible.
So we got a little switch up. We'll switch up in our number four spot. Number three is where I put the Bills. So their defense is bad this year, but Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the NFL, and he can get it done against anybody. The dude's a monster. You can never count him out of any game. He can just put the team on his shoulder any given week. Granted, he's going to have to do that for, you know, 3-4 weeks in a row if he wants to win the Super Bowl, because he's not getting the bye. But third best team in the NFL, huge chance to win it all. I love the Bills this year.
I don't even think their defense is bad. I think it's just had some bad games. I think they're actually a pretty solid unit overall. I have the Bills in the same spot. I think they are the best team in the AFC. That's who I expect to represent them in the Super Bowl, or that conference in the Super Bowl. Josh Allen always seems to save his best games for the playoffs, and we already saw what he's been doing the last couple weeks. I mean, he slowed down actually the last couple weeks, but to end the season, he's been playing really well. Ever since they got Cooper, really, the offense has been taking off, and yeah, they're almost as unstoppable as the Lions on offense. They're the one team that has potentially a better offense than the Lions on a given day, and that would be the only team I could argue.
Yeah, number two, I've got the Eagles. So they've got a great defense this year. They've got the best running back in the NFL, and they've got two fantastic wide receivers, and they have the tush push in their back pocket too. I mean, the tush push is a huge factor in this team. Like, it's so nice. That's such a huge advantage. It puts them over the edge in a lot of situations. It just gives them that extra couple yards to not to worry about third down and fourth down as often as other teams do. So I put him at number two. They've been clicking. They've been looking great.
I mean, how long has it been since the league argued if they should ban a play or not? That's how dominant that is. Like, yeah. There was legitimate talk for years that should get banned. And what they realize is it's not anything illegal. It's just, it's Jalen Hurts. He's just that strong. He can, I forget what they say, what lifted is. Dead press, is it? I think he does like a 600-pound dead press or whatever, and they say like that's the reason. I might have the wrong terminology. I'm not a weight expert,
but yeah, I don't know what they're called.
Regardless, like him compared to anyone else, like at the quarterback position, there's nobody with the like lower leg strength and like just overall like compactness to do what he does. So it's not like, yeah, they do it probably better just as a team, but a lot of it's just Jalen Hurts. Yeah, I love the Eagles. I've been talking about it from first week of the season. Saquon is, in my opinion, the best running back in the league, even with McCaffrey last year. I would say I would take Saquon. I just feel like he finally got to show it. He was just on a bad team for a long time. Their defense,
had two good draft picks that helped shore up their secondary. They already have a really good defensive line. They have good linebacker play. There's no weakness, I think, on the Eagles. And to have them at two is, I would almost say, a discredit to them, because I would have them at number one. I have the Lions at number two.
Okay.
So, like I mentioned earlier with the Lions, is that if the Lions were fully healthy, if they had even a Lee McNeil, maybe, but definitely if they had Hutch, there's some other players too, but really, Hutch and Aleem being out is a big deal. It's really hurt the defense. They don't really have a pass rush. That's the biggest downside of their team right now. However, their offense, as we said before, they can score on anybody. It's the best offense that we've seen in a couple of years, I think. You can't defend it. I think it's the one offense in the league that there's no way to defend it. You can't stop the run. They're too good run blocking with too much talent at the running back. It's hard to stop the passing game because they can beat you at all levels. There's not many offenses that can take the top off the defense as well as the Lions, and also have maybe two of the most dominant, like, mid-level receiving options in the game with Laporta and St. Brown. And then Gibbs might be proving by the end of the season that he could be arguably the best running in the league. Like, he's playing so well lately. And I've mentioned before, even the Montgomery didn't worry me, because I think more touches for Gibbs might be better for the team. And he's been showing that, like, every time that, I mean, he was single-handedly beating the 49ers for a while. It just seemed like every play was a strong play by him. He just makes one guy miss and he's faster than everyone else on the field. But he also has the ability to lower his shoulder and break tackles. So that's what they got to lean on. Their offense is elite, and I think they just need to make one or two plays on defense, which they have enough studs in the secondary that I think that's going to happen. So I would put them at number two. Arguably, could be number one, but number two is what I'm going to have them.
Okay. So number one, obviously, we have a switch up here, too. So I put the Kansas City Chiefs. If you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, they probably would have been, like, around five, but I know they haven't played anyone good, but their offense has looked better. Their defense has looked elite all year, and that's a big deal. And that's kind of how they made their mark last year. But just in the last couple of weeks, I mean, Hollywood Brown's back. He's doing shit. Pacheco's finally back, getting healthier. He's doing shit. Kelsey's starting to play better. Xavier Worthy's finally coming on. Mahomes is playing well. And like I said, their defense is elite. And now they're going to get it. Basically, whoever they want can have a 2 week rest now. I'm sure Mahomes will get it. So Kelsey will get it. All the senior guys there are going to get it. Pacheco probably will, because he's still rolling off an injury. But I mean, 2 weeks rest rolling into the playoffs. There's no team that has more playoff experience in the NFL right now than these guys. I mean, back to back Super Bowl champs. They played a lot of playoff games. Their players, their coaches, their staff, they're all used to this kind of stuff. And I feel like, no matter who they're playing in the AFC on the way there, it's hard to bet against the Chiefs. And then when they get to the Super Bowl, I can't imagine an NFC team that they're rolling up against where I'd be like, yeah, they're going to beat the Chiefs. Because nobody does it in the playoffs. It hasn't happened in such a long time that it's hard to bet against it. So that's why I put them there.
I mean, you can't argue against the Chiefs. I mean, they've been the best team in the NFL for now 5 years.
it's the next New England Patriots. I mean,
I think it might even be better. I mean, yeah, you got to go 20 years to really compete with the Patriots, but I mean, their like 5 year stretch is probably better than any 5 year stretch that the Patriots had, especially they won the Super Bowl this year. Rather, I mean, maybe some of the 5 year stretches that the Patriots would be better, but yeah, is it 5 years they have three, or is it 6 years they have three in
the Patriots?
The Chiefs, so they have three Super Bowls, right, between them?
Yeah,
they won one, then they lost.
They won one, and they lost two? One or two. Now they've won lost two in one. A row.
Yeah, and then I think they
won. I don't think they lost Super Bowl, I just didn't make it 1 year.
They didn't make it 1 year, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, they had a five-year stretch of three Super Bowls, and I mean, that really matches anything. Yeah. I mean, this is the Patriots of this generation. They're incredible. I think when teams play them, they choke just because, like, they just kind of know the Chiefs won't make mistakes. And I think it gets in their heads. And I think that helps. So, And the thing is, they don't make the mistakes. And when the game's on the line, there's nobody that you want to have the ball other than Mahomes. Like, he's proven it again and again and again. He's just so good under any kind of stress you can even get under him under. And that's not much. So, yeah, I can't argue it. They're great.
So you had Eagles at number one?
Oh, yeah, I guess I have the same mind, huh?
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Just making sure.
I had the Eagles mainly just because I think they're the healthiest of the teams listed. Maybe the Chiefs are catching up, but I think they're very similar to the Lions. Their offense is almost as dominant. Honestly, if Hurts didn't get injured, they might have put up similar point totals per game. I'm not sure. I'd have to look into it a little deeper. I wouldn't be surprised they're only a couple points behind the Lions per game. But they have a better defense, and that's where the big difference is. So their defense really has played well this year. I've been very impressed with it. They struggled last year. They got two good rookies this year that really helped solidify the defense, and that seems to have helped everything else around it. Plus, they got a new defensive coordinator. I can't think of his name right now, but he's been Denver. I think he was at the Bears for a little while, and everywhere he's been, he's turned the defenses around like in two seasons from being like a bottom feeding defense to one of the best units in the league. So that's another thing too. I can't think of his name right now, but I have a lot of respect for him because he's been doing it for years and it looks like he's just done it again with the Eagles. So I'd leave him number one. I think there's, again, overall the best overall team, healthiest
team. Yeah, well, we'll see what they do. We'll see what they do against the Packers probably. Might be an embarrassment, but hopefully not. Yeah, let's jump into the final segment. We got the matchup recap. So we got our championship week in our fantasy league. So we'll go over the winner's bracket first. We got two matchups here because we got the championship game and the third place game. But first we'll go over the championship game first. We had Tiff versus Lee in the championship. And Tiff wins this one 122.08 to 91.8. So Tiff just lays down the law, secures her first champion, grants the chip to Tiff. That was a great game. Josh Allen and Jahmyr Gibbs were the huge difference makers here. Neither team was like a super stellar performance. We've seen much higher scores than this throughout the year, but, you know, she won it by 30. Lee, on the other side, he had seven players score single digits in this one. Three of them didn't even make it above five. His team really let him down this in the big game that mattered, so it was a rough week for him. But you still got second place. You still get the payout. Good finish. You started 0-4 this year, and you were in the final game of the year. Took second place. Good job, Lee. You can't be upset about that.
Yeah, no. I mean, at this point, I think we said last week, Tiff was my league. I think the bump that Gibbs got, Allen playing out of his mind the last couple weeks of the season. She's got a lot of good mid-round picks that have started to really turn it on at the middle of the year, like receiver from Denver. I'm so bad at names right now. Sutton. So Sutton had been really good for him, where like he went from being like kind of like a potential drop candidate to a top 20 receiver after the first 5 weeks. So things like that just really put her team into a really good position. Yeah, and then Lee, you can't complain about what he had. You know, he started 0-4, so to make it to this game when we had him on the podcast basically saying how he was ready to look at getting knighted. So to go from that to almost winning the whole thing, I mean, that's a pretty impressive year. You can't go wrong with second place after how you started. And I know it's not a championship and he hasn't won one yet, but I would be pretty proud. I think he made a lot of smart moves, and that's why he made it where he did. So hopefully he can continue that, and maybe next year he will bring home a championship. But the main thing is Tiff, winning her first. That's awesome. It's cool. As I've always said, this league is really fun to me because I got to see people kind of grow into fantasy and like learn how to play and like become much better players. And it's just been fun watching that. And I think Tiff is one of them, and see her kind of figured out and really put together one of the best teams we've seen in, I think, a couple of years. Like, this is a really impressive team by the end of the year. If we go look at other championship teams, this might have been one of the best ones. So, kudos to her. Can't wait to get her name on the trophy and then keep this legacy of this league going. It's been a great time and finally got a new championship or new champion.
Yeah. And with the championship also comes the honor of knighting the loser. So we'll get to that in a minute, but not quite yet. So the other matchup we had, Carson's versus you. This is the third place matchup, so still a payout involved in this one. You just get your money back, but it still matters. So both teams had a pretty good showing. Carson's won it 124.32 to your 121.32. So it was actually a very close game. Carson's gained a pretty huge advantage at the quarterback position because Jalen Hurts was injured. And you picked up, who did you pick up again? I can't remember. Bryce Young. Yeah, it was actually a good pickup. He's been doing good the last several weeks. But game was fairly close going into Monday night. And you had Jameson Williams to go, but he did great, but he couldn't quite close the gap there. The only note I had on this one was Mike Evans on Carson's team. I just put this down because it's fun for me. He's 85 yards away from hitting 1K again this season for the 11th time straight, and he missed four games this year. So Mike Evans, goddamn monster.
Yeah, I mean,
he broke the record like 3 years ago with most consecutive seasons of 1,000 yards, and he just keeps doing it.
He's incredible. It's fun to see. I remember that draft very well because I actually wanted Sammy Watkins really bad. I didn't really think much of Mike Evans. Like, I wouldn't have minded him, get him, but I remember Sammy Watkins. I was like, man, that's the guy the Lions need. Sammy ended up taking Eric Ebron. So go down memory lane. But yeah, I remember Mike Evans in that draft, and I was like, man, such a great player. Like, I like the idea of him. Like, he was 6'4", 6'5", 250-ish. He's like a tight end almost. He's actually honestly like
he's a huge dude. He's
not as agile, but he had similar gameplay. And he's really turned that into one of the best receiver careers we've ever seen. And it's one of those guys you kind of forget about. And then you're just like at the end of the year, and like, oh yeah, Mike Evans had a good season. What nice. he's never been like the best receiver in the league. He's just always been like that, maybe like in that fifth to like 10, 5 to 10 area, but he's just always in that area. He never fluctuates. You know, he's always good.
I mean, 11 years in a row of 1,000 yards. And Sammy Watkins, he hasn't been in the league for like 3 years now.
Sammy Watkins was considered like a level above Mike Evans as a prospect. Like, he was considered a great prospect. So yeah, the fact that Evans is as good as he is, and that's kind of what was expected out of Evans. They were expecting Sammy Watkins to be better than what Evans was. So that just kind of shows you how crazy of a prospect Watkins was. But obviously, all careers go different in the NFL.
Yeah, you never know how they pan out.
As far as the game, yeah, it kind of sucked. Losing Hurts. I actually would have won this game. I didn't even realize I picked my defense up and got it and then didn't put it into the lineup. So I picked up the Dolphins, and they scored like 11 points. So I looked at it at the end. I'm like, oh, that's right. I have the Dolphins. I'm like, oh, they're on my bench. Like, oh, darn it. And then I saw the score. Like, again, it was just for money. So I was mostly just doing it just to not put someone in. You know, I kind of already wrote the season off. But I was like, you know, I'm not going to just like lay up and not play a team with like an injured quarterback. And stuff. So I could have won it, but okay. It is what it is. For me, it's a championship or bust. So I didn't quite get what I wanted, so. Congratulations, Carson. You kicked my butt. I think I lost four games in a row to finish the year. So people probably can take some enjoyment out of that because never wanted me to lose for a while. So you guys, you wish too hard because now I lost all the games.
And the flip side, I was not championship or bust this year. I was like, please just don't finish last this year. That was my mantra for like the last 7 weeks. And what did I do? So we had Ashley versus Kyle in the loser's bracket. Ashley wins 124.66 to my 83.92. So I got my ass kicked in the final game of the season. So I've secured my position as the first Doc Johnson Knight. I'm sure I won't be the last, but I'll be the first. Looking forward to my knighting ceremony next year. Everyone, make sure you come to the draft if you want to witness it. Don't miss it. Don't send someone else to draft your team. Looking back, I mean, I can kind of see, I remember Carson being pretty annoyed and frustrated with the whole thing last year. And I can kind of see it this year. Because when you're on the outside and you're not the receiver, it's just funny as shit. When you're the one getting it, it kind of sucks. And now I just don't. I know I'm getting to this
you're
year.
You're going too far. You never put in your mind that you would win it. You're like, I'm too good at fantasy to get the last. But you know what? I've done it before too. It happens. Sometimes you just have that type of year. I know we talked about it. middle of the season, I think I brought it up and you didn't even think it was in question yet. And I was like, I think you might be the worst team in the league. And you just kind of like, really? Already? I'm like, yeah, I think you are. And I think you still argued against it, but then I think in 2 weeks you're pretty much on board. You're like, yep, I think I'm the worst team of the league. So it was either you or Ashley, but Ashley had Bijan and she had Nico Collins, and your running backs were, I mean, Cook was good. Cook's been really good.
Cook was good. Paul sucked.
Everything else fell apart. Everything else fell apart. So, I mean, that was just a hard year. I mean, you didn't do, like, wrong things. You know, you didn't make a lot of bad decisions. I mean, I guess, yes, you could say they're bad decisions, but one of those things, you keep doing the process the same way over and over again, you're going to be right so many times. You had the right process a lot of the time. It's just people got injured. You can't.
Yeah, and I made some trades. I played the fab. I got some players. I switched my team up as I could, but yeah, nothing worked out this year. It's it happens.
How many times did I say, like, hey, that's a good move. You picked up so many receivers that people dropped. I'm like, oh, that guy's going to probably be top 20 receiver if he hits, you know, like this metric or this happens. And like, you hit a couple of them. I was actually upset that I didn't pick up, and it wasn't a lack of good moves.
It wasn't for lack of trying. I didn't just give up and coast my way down here. I fought the whole way. Just couldn't make up the difference.
This is a well-earned last
of place. A bad draft. So yeah, the better team won. I mean, I had a lot of points on my bench. I checked it and double-checked it to see if I could have won if I had made the right decisions, but no. I was screwed no matter what I did with my roster. So congrats to Ashley. You got out of it. Don't have to bring the Doc Johnson back into your household this year. Maybe next year. We'll see what happens. But yeah, that's about it. Big congrats to Tiff. New winner. You have gotten your money already. I will get your name engraved in the trophy and pass it on to you in the near future. Congrats to Lee for taking second. Carson for taking third. Ashley for not using the Doc Johnson. And congrats to everybody. It was a fun year. Another fun year. It's always a blast. I'm very much forward to looking to next year's draft, getting everybody together and running it all back.
Yeah, I'm very happy with this, how the year turned out. I think the podcast has really helped out. I feel like the group chat text messages that we have has really increased because of the podcast. It feels like it's really united the league a little bit more. And honestly, I've never had a league like that. Most leagues, they just, no one talks, and then by the end of the year someone wins and then the money's handed out, and then maybe you talk to some of the people in the league throughout the year, but like there's nothing more. But this league, there's a lot of banter going back and forth. I think I even upset Karsten's once because he was like hating on the Lions and I said something there and he got kind of bitter back. So I mean, there's like, you know, some shit talking back. I accidentally sent some like Republican meme on accident that didn't really, it was changed words. It was Idiocracy. Yeah, Idiocracy, because Lee said something about a tard. So I on the quote where he's talking, yeah, my ex-wife was a tard. Now she's a pilot or something like that. And it was rewrote. And it was like, yeah, my ex-wife was tarded. She's now a Republican or Democratic senator or something like that. I'm like, I didn't read it all the way through. I'm like, I feel like an idiot because I'm like, I don't try to be political. And I was just like, oh, damn. But anyway, the chat was really fun this year. Everyone was kind of going back and forth, just all the fab bets and stuff, and just kind of the jokes that people made on teams. Like, it really made it a lot more fun. Like, I actually welcome people hating on my team. It was fun. Like, people, you know, hoping I would lose, not because they wanted me to lose, just the essence of like, you know, we don't want an undefeated team. I totally get it. So all that was fun. The league has really taken off the last couple of years. You and Jackie have really done a lot with the board and hosting. That's just made it so much fun. The drafting gets more enjoyable every year. We got more stuff this year with the jerseys, and hopefully, you know, this is just the start of adding things to it and making it a bigger experience for everybody. Who knows? Maybe some of our kids are in this and we still do this 10 years from now. Like Leo's doing some, and maybe some of like Tiff's kids are even in it. So who knows where this thing will go, but it's been a lot of fun so far. And I think we're on like almost 10 years. So to have 10 years. And
there's a lot of names on that trophy.
And we probably had our best season yet. So thanks to everyone who helped. This isn't the end of the podcast, though. Obviously, we're going to do this throughout the playoffs. So if people want to listen to us banter about playoff teams and just what we think about the playoffs, how it's going, we'll be doing that stuff as well. But as far as the fantasy season, it is concluded. A little sad myself. I thought I should have won it all. I even kind of looked at, actually, I do have a rant, and you can blame me if you want, but do we ever get rid of kickers? Are we choosing to get rid of kickers next year?
No, we vote on it every year, and it always fails to vote.
Okay. Kickers are the dumbest thing in fantasy football. We're going to put it to vote next year because we should flip it and we should get them removed, because I looked at it. Lost the league, you could argue it's through a kicker. And I think a lot of my losses this year were probably because of kickers. And I saw, like, even against Karsten's, his kicker scored like 17 points to like mine, like 4. I just, kickers are nearly impossible to predict. And I could have definitely done better myself. So this isn't necessarily just me ranting about, oh, I could have won if we didn't have kickers. It really just kind of comes down to kickers are nearly impossible to predict. They're not fun. You should get rid of them. That's my one thing I want to change in the league. So hopefully we can do that. They're basically just completely random. You just don't want to play ones in bad games. Typically you want to play home teams in domes that have good offenses, but you still don't know how many points are going to get scored. It's still random. So it feels like you're kind of flipping a coin for that position. So.
Hopefully I digress. Will agree with you, because I already agree with you. I don't like them. I think I'm the one who kicks it out there every year. But we do have some rule changes next year, just so people will remember. And obviously, I'll send out a text or something before the draft so people aren't preparing incorrectly. But we're dropping one of our wide receivers. We're only going to have 2. The bench is staying the same. So there will be more wide receivers in the free agency pool next year. I know that's always it's really hard to find wide receivers in our league. And I think it was just an unfortunate thing that happened when we pushed from a 10 team to a 12 team and never dropped that extra player from our team. So we're doing that. And we're going to be able to trade picks next year. I don't know yet if ESPN allows you to actually include a pick in your trade. So I might have to work something out where you'll have to text me. And you might have to text the person and arrange the trade and be like, we're trading this player, plus I'm trading my pick next year. I don't know yet either what round we're going to cut the pick trade off at, but you're not going to be able to trade your first round pick for sure, and second round pick almost certainly as well.
Maybe third, but we'll top 3 on the day we voted. I think we said fourth round would have been like the highest one.
We didn't say anything when we voted. It was just we'd be able to trade picks, but I don't want to allow first round picks because I don't want someone to have 2 first round picks.
I don't think we said anything in stone. I think we just said we kind of talked about it. I think we were thinking fourth round would have been
there would be a limit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like maybe the first 3 rounds are off limits and then the fourth. Cause then you're you're not giving up real premium picks and really swinging drafts. We don't want it to be where some guy has just 3 extra first round, second round picks on the league and then just kind of dominates the next year. That's not fun either.
Yeah. Well, it's going to take a minute too for everyone to figure out what a pick the following year is worth it for you this year. Do you really want to win this year? And then the person trading away picks to win this year, you got to keep in mind, you got to play next year too. And luckily we have enough continuity in this league where we've had the same bunch of people for a long time. So I'm not too concerned about this. So, if you trade your picks, you got to worry about next year. So don't just go giving away picks for, if you're giving away a high pick, you better be getting a high player for it.
And don't be making a bunch of trades and knowing you're gonna leave the league next year or something if it doesn't go well. Don't just sabotage some team either, just trying to win.
I mean, the only reason I kicked it out there is because we've had the continuity in this league. We've had the same players for quite a while now. There was a little bit of changeover early on, but for the last 3 or 4 years, I think it's been the same group of people, and they all make it to the draft. And it's so I'm not too concerned about that part of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either. I mean, and I feel like most people here are going to be pretty honest and not do something like that. That would be a pretty shitty thing to do. And I don't think anyone in this league would be capable of that. But it is just one of those things that cross the mind, It's just oh, trade a bunch of picks and then just try to win because you're not really feeling the league. And you're maybe I'll just try to win it this year. And then, I don't think that'd happen.
Yeah, those are going to be the 2 big rule changes for next year. We'll vote on kickers again. Maybe we'll... You got to start pleading your case in the group chat early next
right.
year for the thing.
Well, try to get the kickers are what kind of make everything a little more even for everybody. And I
think we really
had them
factor.
In there because it was okay, we need that kind of thing to just the less experienced people have a chance of winning because they have a kicker that can outscore the yard kicker, and that's a 7-10 point swing, and that's enough to win game weeks. They're just not predictable, so it just sucks. There's like two or three every year that are maybe like startable, but you can still drop them on the bye week. Like, you don't even keep them into the bye week. They could be the best kicker. I think the best kicker was dropped this year. I think he was like number one, Aubrey. I think he wasn't dropped, but in the past we've had the number one kicker dropped before and people picked him up with like a waiver and stuff. So it's like, if they're not even going to be kept on your team during like a bye week.
Yeah. I mean, the number one kicker and like the number seven kicker usually aren't that big a difference in points at the end of the year. It's just, they come in droves. Like, they'll get 23 one week and then they'll get two the next week.
Right.
So it's a wild card is what it is. It's just a wild card you're throwing in there.
I could say I lost my last two games because of kickers. Like, it's just like, you look at the score and you're just like, wow, I won in the running back room. I barely won the receiver room. I lost in the tight end spot. I lost a little bit in the quarterback spot. And then I lost by 15 a kicker. And it's like, cool. Like, my team, all the guys I drafted to be good players kicked ass this week. And I still lose because of some random kicker. So that's probably my biggest disappointment when I lose is when I have a kicker difference. So just seeing that, just kind of like, huh. Well, hopefully we can vote them out in a year or two. I think people would actually enjoy it more now, especially if people getting better. When it's one less thing to worry about every week, having to drop, pick up players. Like, I didn't even, you know, I could have probably had a different kicker. I stopped caring about it. I just didn't even touch him anymore. I was just like, all right, I have a kicker. He starts on the team. And then I realized my kicker was missing all these field goals. So that was my fault. So I just had a really bad kicker. I had the Niners kicker who just had a terrible end of the year. So something that you should be keeping track of. But yeah.
No, you only got to convince five people. You don't have to convince me.
Like I'm saying here, because hopefully someone's listening and they change their mind. But when we do the vote, I'm going to be a little bit more hard on, like, you know, let's get rid of them. Hopefully I can swing some people in the actual vote and we can do it, because I think it's been long enough. Every league I've been in, but this one doesn't have kickers. So let's go for it. Move them.
Do it.
Come on, guys.
Well, I think we'll call her there then. Another great season. Thanks again, everybody. Any parting words, or should we just call her a day?
We kind of said it, you know, just great year. Loved doing the podcast. I can't wait to do the next couple weeks and then boot this up again next year. Hopefully we can improve on our craft and we can give everyone even a better experience. Everyone's been watching and listening, which is great. So, or I shouldn't say everyone, but most people are. More people than I expected were. So,
yeah, we appreciate it very much. So, yeah, we'll end it as we always do with the Jameis Winston quote of the week. Bye, everybody.
Right, you got your wrists, you know, and then what are your wrists on the bottom half? Your ankles, you know, you got your shoulders up top. What are your shoulders? Your hips, you know what I'm saying? You got your elbows. What are your elbows? Your knees. Your knees, right? Like, so